Chapter 4 of Walter Youngquist's book, Geodestinies, The Good Geofortune of the USA. Mineral resources have shaped the course of history and development of many nations, but two examples stand out, the United States and Saudi Arabia. Each is a phenomenon that will never be repeated. Each is worthy of special note. Saudi Arabia is discussed in the next chapter. Wilderness to world power. The establishment of a government by a free people and an open economic system, together with a great variety of abundant and easily exploited natural resources, destined the United States to change from a 3 million square mile wilderness to the wealthiest and most powerful nation the world had ever seen in less than 300 years. In terms of the total energy minerals and mineral spectrum, the United States was without equal among nations at the time the Declaration of Independence was signed. Also, the millions of acres of fertile soil in the nation's heartland, favored by a good growing season, are unmatched in the world. At the time, its citizens did not know what riches this relatively unexplored country contained. As the pioneers moved westward and exploration proceeded, word spread of the abundant natural resources of this region, both in minerals and fertile land. A flood of immigrants swept into the undeveloped territory, and in 3 centuries, the United States became the leading world power with material wealth beyond anything previously experienced in all of history. This was the result of a combination of the right time, a motivated people, and the great geofortune of a resource-rich country. The right time. Part of its good fortune was that the United States was established at the right time. The USA emerged as a nation shortly after the Industrial Revolution. It started in Great Britain and promptly spread to Europe, and then to the United States. New inventions and new technologies developed rapidly. The technologies enabled people to extract and process important raw materials like iron ore in great quantities. The invention of the steam engine fostered the development of the railroad, which was able to haul raw materials cheaply and in great quantities to the factories and distribute finished products across the country. Many of these technologies were brought by the immigrants to the United States by immigrants, ready to be used on resource-rich land. Motivated people. The people who arrived in North America often hailed from lands where they had been ruled by kings and oppressive landlords. Most who came were not of the nobility. Why would anyone, already well off in Europe, come to the wild and primitive living of North America? A few did. However, the vast majority were the oppressed and those with little material wealth. They were united by one thing, a burning desire to establish a nation where all persons would have equal rights regardless of status at birth, and where wealth gained by hard work could be retained. This was written into the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and democracy and the American free enterprise capitalistic system emerged. A fortunate place. Great Britain and Europe had fewer mineral and energy resources than did the new nation across the sea. When the immigrants of the time, who were then largely from northern European lands, came to North America, they found a much greater and richer spectrum of mineral resources than what they had left behind. They had witnessed the beginnings of the Industrial Revolution, and now they had tremendous natural resources with which to implement the technologies of the Industrial Revolution. The free political and economic environment gave people the incentive to maximize their talents and invent new technologies. Soon came the telegraph, the telephone, the electric light, the cotton gin, and many other inventions. The combination of the right time, during the spread of the Industrial Revolution, together with a poor but ambitious free people and the right place, 3 million square miles of virgin land with a tremendous variety and quantity of mineral resources, was responsible for producing the great economic and military might of the United States in the first 300 years of its existence. Of the three factors, the great variety and abundance of material and energy resources was probably the most important. Without these, even a free people would have seen the industrial age largely bypass them, or else arrive much later. But the rich geological endowment of the United States shaped its destiny. Boyer, in his 1984 book, expressed it very well, quote, "Fertile farmland, vast forests, open ranges, coal, hydropower, and abundant petroleum provided more opportunity for each person to gain material abundance through hard work and initiative than people had ever experienced before," unquote. Kennedy notes that the Industrial Revolution arrived just at the time the United States ended the Civil War and could combine the new technology with its great natural resource wealth. Quote, "Of all the changes which were taking place in the global power balances during the late 19th and early 20th centuries, there can be no doubt that the most decisive one for the future was the growth of the United States. With the Civil War over, the United States was able to exploit its many advantages: rich agricultural land, vast raw materials, and the marvelously convenient arrival of modern technology, railways, the steam engine, mining equipment, to develop such resources," unquote. Canada? One might suggest that Canada also had the same potential as did the United States, but Canada has somewhat less conveniently deposited mineral resources. It does not have high-grade iron and coal adjacent to the inexpensive Great Lakes transportation system. Little oil was discovered until recently in eastern Canada, which is offshore, whereas there were numerous oil fields in Pennsylvania, Ohio, West Virginia, Kentucky, and Indiana, where people first settled and industry was established in the United States. There is no region in Canada comparable to the prolific Gulf Coast region of the United States, where the famous Spindletop oil gusher discovery was made in 1901. Canada's major oil industry really dates only from post-World War II, and although important, it does not rival the size and wide geographic distribution of oil fields all across the United States. Also, Canada's northern geographic position, with its hostile cold climate and the difficult terrain of lakes, bogs, swamps, and large areas of tundra underlain by permafrost, delayed its development except for roughly a 200-mile strip of land adjacent to the United States. Canada did not attract the large population necessary to form the basis for a big industrial complex with sizable internal markets needed to foster large-scale manufacturing, such as occurred early in the history of the United States. It may be, however, that the best is yet to come for Canada. The world's largest deposits of oil sands, for example, will be an asset for many decades to come, and large high-grade iron ore deposits remain to be exploited. The United States has already depleted its high-grade, high-quality iron deposits as part of the price for its phenomenal economic growth. Russia? Russia had the resource potential to achieve similar development to the United States, but it lacked a political system that encouraged, or more importantly, rewarded individual incentive. Wealth could not be easily accumulated by enterprising individuals, and it therefore could not be efficiently reinvested in more enterprises to build a better life for the average citizen. The early immigrants to the United States came to a land with no established economic or political system. This allowed them to establish a political and economic environment where individuals were rewarded for their initiative and money could be retained and invested. Although Russia's agricultural base is not as large as that of the United States, Russia now has the largest or the richest mineral and energy spectrum of any nation on Earth. If the new Russia can establish and retain a political and economic society that allows individuals to realize and be rewarded for their full potential, Russia could significantly raise its standards of living and substantially increase its position as a world economic power. However, Russia would miss one advantage the United States had in its rapid economic rise, a relatively small population compared to large mineral wealth. Today, Russia would have to spread its geologic wealth over a far greater number of people than the United States had when it rose to its affluent world position. In 1880, as the United States began to reap the advantages of the Industrial Revolution, the population was approximately 50 million. The Russian population today is about 142 million. Large mineral wealth spread over a small population has the potential of raising the standards of living. This has been clearly illustrated in such countries as Saudi Arabia and Kuwait. Russia missed a great opportunity. Now, although it does have mineral wealth, it has more people. And Russian oil production has peaked before the benefits of its oil riches have been enjoyed to any large degree by the average citizen. The United States combined its oil wealth with its world-class motor vehicle industry to bring a degree of affluence and lifestyle for the average citizen that would be difficult, if not impossible, for Russia to duplicate now. U.S. resources. Abundant resources and rapid rise to the economic top. The United States has had an incredibly fast ride to the top in terms of economic power and affluence. Oil was discovered in Pennsylvania in 1859. Large, very high-grade coal deposits were discovered in Pennsylvania before then. The world's largest known iron ore deposits at the time were put into production in Minnesota in 1884. The United States soon became the world's largest producer of coal, iron, and oil, three basic ingredients of the dawning industrial age. For many years, the United States was the world's dominant producer of most vital raw materials. The United States was, until 1982, the world's largest copper producer. Until about 1950, it produced half the world's oil. It has been the leader in molybdenum, zinc, and lead output, and it still has the largest recoverable coal reserves in the world. Following the 1859 discovery of oil, the United States was completely self-sufficient in petroleum for more than 100 years. Ultimately, it was the possession of large oil resources and the U.S. self-sufficiency that brought about the reversal of power between Great Britain and the United States. Until World War I, coal was the dominant energy source, and British coal mines were a major source. After World War I, oil became the major fuel on which the world depended. Britain at that time had no oil production. One might note that the dependence of the United States on foreign oil has substantially decreased the relative world economic strength of the United States, a matter taken up later in this volume. Helpful geography. The United States not only benefited from a uniquely favorable sequence of events, combining mineral discovery with the developing technology of the Industrial Revolution to exploit these resources, but the geographic location of some of its resources was also very fortunate. This was especially true with respect to iron ore and the raw materials needed to smelt the ore to produce iron, the single most important metal in our industrial civilization. The richest iron ore deposits then known in the world were discovered in the Mesabi Range of northeastern Minnesota. The large, local, low-grade tectonite deposits had been fractured, weathered, and leached of worthless rock material, leaving behind the mineral hematite, which is 60% iron. These rich iron ores were easily and economically connected with the other two main ingredients for making steel, high-grade coal and limestone, by the fortunate geography of the Great Lakes region. Iron ore could be brought down first by rail, downhill, an economically important fact for the transport of heavy iron ore, to Lake Superior. From there, cheap water transport moved the ore to steel mines in Chicago, where the first American steel rails were rolled in 1865, and also to the Pittsburgh area, which also became a steel-producing center, adjacent to the rich Pennsylvania coal fields. Both areas had abundant coal and limestone to combine with iron ore to produce iron and steel. Timely discoveries and inventions. Timely discoveries. The rich iron ore discovery came just when it was needed at the time the railroads began to dominate transportation. The engines, cars, and rails all demanded great quantities of steel. The blast furnaces around Chicago, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh produced it. American steel production was only 20,000 tons in 1867, but by 1895 it surpassed the British production of 6 million tons and reached 10 million tons annually before 1900. Ultimately, a large steel network of rails stretched from coast to coast, an impossible task were it not for the great iron ore deposits, which had been discovered and developed on such a timely basis. Steel also built the factories and machines with which more goods were produced. The railroads efficiently distributed the manufactured products, such as steel farm implements, for the pioneers breaking sod in the Midwest and the Great Plains. The railroad brought needed equipment and supplies to miners and ranchers of the mountain regions and to the growing settlements on the West Coast, previously supplied mainly by ships, which had to go all the way around the southern tip of South America, rounding the treacherous Cape Horn. Steel made the world's first skyscraper possible. After the Great Chicago Fire of 1871, large areas of the city needed to be rebuilt. An architect named William Jenney demonstrated that walls of buildings were no longer needed for bearing the weight of the structure. Rather, with abundant and relatively cheap steel available, he could build a steel frame to act as the skeleton of the building. Using lighter weight materials, the structure could be walled in. Thus, the first skyscraper was erected, the 10-story Home Insurance Building, finished in 1885. It was such a success that two more stories were added later on. The giant steel mills came into being because of the rich iron ore deposits of the Mesabi Range, which built the Great Railroad Network and provided the structural steel to build the huge complexes of office buildings and factories that we know today. Copper and the Electric Age. About the time the steel business was booming, the electrical age was dawning. The electric motor had been invented about 1854, and in 1879, Thomas Edison produced the first usable electric light and visualized lighting cities. But how could electric current be transmitted to lamps for use in homes, offices, and factories, and to the motors that could replace so much of the hand labor in the factory? Again, geology favored the U.S., with deposits of large native copper deposits, some of the richest known in the world, on the Keweenaw Peninsula of Upper Michigan. These deposits were mined to meet the demands of the electric age. Copper became the workhorse of the electrical industry. Upper Michigan, located not far from the industrial East and Midwest, where much of the copper was used, produced huge amounts of this most useful material. And it was inexpensive native copper. One mine struck a deposit of pure copper, solid copper, about 50 feet long, with an average thickness of about 14 feet, weighing more than 500 tons. The copper, being so malleable, could not be blasted out, but instead had to be cut into small pieces. This procedure was economical because the mass was almost pure copper, requiring little smelting and refining. That it was not pure copper was also fortunate because the impurity it contained was silver. Silver is an even better electrical conductor than copper, so the wires made from Michigan copper with its silver content were superior in transmission performance. Michigan copper was made into thousands of miles of wire that carried electric power to homes and factories. It made the workday more pleasant and efficient and domestic life brighter. Copper wire carried electricity, allowing factories to operate three shifts a day instead of one. Copper greatly increased the productivity of the American economy. In the United States, the Rural Electrification Administration, REA, launched in the 1930s, brought electric power and light to rural America and substantially improved the living conditions outside the cities. Copper wires carried the electric power, and they still do. Copper and communication. In the 1830s, Samuel Morse established his telegraph line from Washington to Baltimore. Copper telegraph wires soon spanned large areas of the nation, first running along railroad tracks and then spreading out and connecting many otherwise isolated communities with the outside world. Telephones began to appear, and copper wires were available to put this most useful instrument into many places. Business and industry greatly benefited by this communication system. All this was facilitated by the abundant, rich copper deposits in Michigan, which could be developed at just the right time to promote the electrical age in the United States and in all its many and varied useful forms. It should be noted that the Michigan copper deposits fed far more money into the American economy than did all the gold from the California gold rush. Cheap steel, oil, and cars. Then came the development and mass production of motor vehicles, made possible by the abundance of cheap steel, combined with the discovery of oil in increasing amounts in many parts of the United States. After first finding oil in Pennsylvania, drillers soon discovered oil in New York, West Virginia, Ohio, Texas, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Kentucky, Kansas, Colorado, Wyoming, and California. Oil was available coast to coast. By 1909, the United States was producing more oil than the rest of the world combined, and continued to do so through 1950. With the discovery of oil found all across the U.S., and the development of trucks and automobiles, soon a nationwide network of roads and service stations was established. Travel came into vogue because oil was inexpensive. The average citizen could afford it. Thus, the great travel boom arrived and the novel idea of motels spread across the country. The travel industry became an important part of the U.S. economy. In 1930, the Great East Texas oil field was discovered, the biggest ever found in the 48 adjacent states, and oil prices dropped briefly to as low as 4 cents a barrel. The United States found itself with more and more and cheaper oil, and ultimately led the world away from coal as the major fuel to the present dominance of oil. In myriad ways, oil has powered the United States to its leading world position, including, until recently, being the world's largest motor vehicle manufacturer. Minerals and two wars. Ample mineral and energy minerals won two wars. In the early and middle decades of the 20th century, mineral and energy mineral resources in the United States were in seemingly endless supply. The United States provided its allies with vital energy and mineral resources first to win World War I, when it was said that the, quote, allies floated to victory on a sea of oil. And the U.S. oil supplies again played a vital role in World War II. Both Japan and Germany lacked oil. In terms of metals, it has been said that both wars were fought from the great hole in the ground, which is the Hull Rust iron mine on the north side of Hibbing, Minnesota. Minerals, standard of living and world power. With cheap and abundant mineral and energy mineral resources, the United States enjoyed an unprecedented rapid rise, to the world's highest material standard of living and to economic and military preeminence. Abundant, cheap energy, high-grade metal deposits. When considering the future as compared with the past, it is important to note that the United States achieved its industrial position and its high standard of living on abundant, cheap energy and rich material resources. It took enormous energy to mine and smelt the ores to produce the metals vital to the industrial development. It took vast amounts of energy to conquer the frontier and to do the work needed to convert a raw wilderness into the world's largest, most affluent society. During most of the time between 1940 and 1960, the United States enjoyed $3 a barrel oil, natural gas costing about 15 cents a thousand cubic feet, and coal costing about $4 a ton, all available within the United States. Abundant and inexpensive energy sources and high-grade iron and copper deposits were exceedingly helpful to a young and rapidly growing nation. High-grade metal deposits take less energy to mine and smelt than low-grade deposits do. The combination of high-grade ores and inexpensive energy combined to provide very inexpensive finished products that fostered economic growth. Conversely, as oil grade decreases, it takes more energy to produce the same amount of metal as previously. Combined with higher energy costs, the result is substantially higher finished product costs. The far more favorable economic combination of high-grade mineral deposits and low energy costs, coal and oil, of the past will never likely again return in the United States. The zenith. The United States' peak of power may have been symbolized by its use of the ultimate energy weapon, the atomic bomb, to end World War II in 1945. At the time, the United States was the sole owner of this fearsome form of energy. It was the possession of a particular metal, uranium, within its borders that allowed the United States to arrive at this zenith of world power. Now this capability is shared by several countries, and the number is growing. Foreign oil dependency and some loss of economic control. After the breakup of the Soviet Union in the early 1990s, there were those who argued that the United States stood alone as the unrivaled world power. Unlike 1945, however, in the 1990s, the United States was no longer self-sufficient in its principal energy needed, oil. In fact, it was importing more than half of its supplies and lacked the ability to reverse the trend. The United States no longer controlled its economic destiny, which was partly in the hand of foreign oil producers. And the continuing imbalance of foreign trade, in which imported oil was the largest single and growing factor, hurt the prestige and value of the U.S. dollar in world markets. Future warfare. After the atomic bomb, the United States and the world may have entered a time when wars will not be fought by the violent methods of the past. Possessions of atomic weapons now by a number of countries and the destructive ramifications of atomic warfare for all sides of a conflict are such that it is unlikely anyone would really win. Therefore, the military might of the United States may not be as important in the future as it once was. The new battle is likely to be waged on economic and industrial fronts, using mineral and energy mineral resources mainly for non-military purposes. The United States already is engaged in such a conflict with China. Resource depletion. The United States rose to international economic dominance in record time, but in the process depleted many of its high-grade resources. The rich ores in the Mesabi Iron Range are gone. All the high-grade native copper mines of Upper Michigan are closed. The United States now searches for oil off the frozen north coast of Alaska and in the deep waters of the Gulf of Mexico. The U.S. is no longer, nor will it ever be, self-sufficient in oil again. Its oil reserves, once the largest in the world, are now dwarfed by those of several other countries. Although it consumes about 25% of the world's oil, the U.S. now contains only about 4% of the estimated conventional proved world oil reserves. How much shale oil can add to U.S. oil supply is not yet known, but it will probably make only a modest contribution. The United States has changed from being an exporter of energy and mineral resources to now being a net importer on an increasingly large scale. In the process, the United States also went from being the world's largest creditor nation to being the world's largest debtor nation in less than 20 years. Oil imports now are the single largest item contributing to our annual balance of trade deficit. Other basic commodities are increasingly imported as the United States continues to decline in resource self-sufficiency. In 1920, the United States produced 80% of the world's oil. But in 1965, the curves of rising U.S. oil consumption and declining oil production crossed. That year, the United States produced just enough oil for its own needs. By 1994, more than half of its oil was imported. The long-term overall downward trend of domestic oil production continues. In metals, the story is much the same. The copper mining industry survives in modest form in the southwestern United States, but other countries are now the dominant producers, notably Chile and Peru. The rich iron deposits of northern Minnesota are gone, and a low-grade ore, taconite, is produced to supply most of U.S. demand. Iron ore deposits in Canada, Liberia, Brazil, and Australia now dominate the world supply. With little domestic aluminum ore, bauxite, the U.S. imports most of its ore from Jamaica and Australia and a few other places. The United States still has rich, fertile land, but even that is being degraded by erosion and soil nutrient depletion, and the groundwater supplies needed to support irrigated lands are being overpumped. Increasingly, the United States lives on imported affluence. Unending tides of immigrants continue to arrive in a land that is now the third most populous nation in the world, to share in a fading American dream. The United States should consider where these trends are taking the nation. Together with Canada and Australia, it is one of the few industrial nations still experiencing rapid population growth. With an increasing population consuming diminishing domestic resources, it is difficult to see how the present standard of living can be maintained. By some measures, it is already in decline. Inevitably, a balance between resource consumption and population must be achieved. The question is, at what standard of living will that be achieved? People use resources. Divide resources by population to help answer the question. A unique world event. The saga of the astonishing rise of the United States to affluence and power will never be duplicated in the world. There are no more virgin continents to exploit. The story of the growth of the United States has been a phenomenon beyond comparison. The question now is, where does it go from here? Jones has drawn an interesting analogy between the past and present position of the United States with respect to mineral resources, and oil in particular. Quote, "For its first 150 years, the United States was a boy with so much candy that no matter how much he ate, he still always had some to give away. For the next 25 years, he had as much as he wanted, provided he gave very little away. Today, he cannot supply enough to meet his very large and increasing appetite and must, for the first time, go to the world's candy store and stand in line like everybody else to buy it." Unquote.